Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, the suspense. There is suspense. There's some good things going on around here. And there are some bad things going on around here. Let's start with the good. You want to start with the good or the bad?
Good.
It's up to you.
Start with the good, man.
The Astros, they're heading into
Atlanta.
Very good. There are a couple questions that need to be answered. It seems like there might be some context clues that could answer these questions. First, what's the outfield going to look like tomorrow? I think it's safe to assume we're going to have Tuck in center, Yordan in left, Michael Brantley in right.
Yeah.
I think that we don't officially know that yet. The lineup will come out probably 27 hours from now, 26, 27 hours from now, and we'll know then. But it's safe to assume that you're going to have Tuck in center and then Alvarez and Brantley on the corners.
Absolutely, 100%, because you can't take any of those bats out. None of them. Sure, Siri gave you the spark. Awesome. It was an incredible moment for him and this team. I think, you know, McCormick has really picked himself up pretty nicely this postseason, but you can't take those guys out.
All right. Do it. Game four starter. We feel like we have a pretty good grasp of who is going to start game four. It was thrown out that maybe it would be Odorizzi, but I think we have a pretty good grasp of who's going to start game four. Who is going to start game four?
That would be one Zach Greinke, I believe, that is going to start. Big telltale sign yesterday with him in the dugout. He hasn't pitched in a while. Now, how long is he going to go? I think that's open for discussion, but at least you have a veteran on the road in that environment able to get it done, hopefully.
Okay, so Zach Greinke, as long as he gets to bat once. I want him to get bat once.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, unless he gets rocked in the first inning or something.
I want Greinke up at the plate. He hits better than Maldonado.
I'd rather you bat eighth.
Yeah. Well, maybe why don't they do that?
They could.
I would put Greinke eighth and put Maldonado ninth. They probably won't do that.
Yeah.
Although it's been done.
Absolutely. La Russa used to do, your guy La Russa used to do that a lot.
Okay, so those are the two questions when it comes to the Astros. Is there really anything else? Are we going to see Siri when they come back? I think that's going to be interesting too, because right now you don't have to decide between McCormick and Siri. But let's say that this series comes back to Houston, and that would be Tuesday game six. Are you going to go Siri or are you going to go McCormick?
I think you're going to go, I was going to say Siri. I'd hate to put him on the bench after that spark he gave you and the way, you know, he played fine on defense. But McCormick has been pretty nails, man. He's been pretty, I mean, he's not even ripping it off, but he's doing pretty well. I think the other question you said, is there another question?
It's Siri. Stop.
That's what I'm saying. I think you go Siri.
Siri all day.
I think you go Siri. You can have the discussion about Castro instead of Maldonado on the road. I think that's the other thing you can, I wouldn't be against it. Maldonado is obviously awesome. He's like, you know, he's kind of like the David Culley of baseball. You always have to say David Culley is a nice guy, but Maldonado is maybe the best catcher in baseball.
He got a hit yesterday, bro.
One of the best catchers in baseball, but he's 3 for 27?
Yeah.
Something like that?
It's kind of scary because you are basically hitting two pitchers.
Yeah. You're
Maldonado has a pitcher's batting average, even with that hit yesterday.
Yeah.
You're basically hitting two pitchers in the National League, and it's scary enough to have to hit one.
Yeah, I think you don't want, the way I put it is you don't want to give away two outs. And as great as he is, as awesome, and at any moment he can make an incredible play, keep in mind, bobbled the ball, gave up a stolen base in the game one loss. That was key. pass ball yesterday. They scored it a wild pitch, but I don't know who their official scorer was. That hit him square in the glove and just high, and it was a pass ball yesterday. So, you know, he does – it's not like he's completely flawless behind the plate either.
Yeah, and I also think in the situations like what you saw in game one where it was a four-run game and there was a runner on first and third and Maldonado was at the plate, Dusty decided to not pinch hit him. I think maybe the hook could be a little bit earlier and you could see Castro
International
earlier.
League Park.
Yeah, in El Park. So yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. The depth is really going to be important because – Diaz is going to be getting at bats. Chaz is probably going to get at bats. You might even see Marwin Gonzalez go up there and get an at bat. So you're going to see a lot of guys, the depth of the roster, et cetera. You know, signing Marwin at the end of the season, Diaz coming off the plate. Like, you're going to see a lot of that. By the way, did you hear that Garcia was hitting him into the Crawford boxes yesterday?
He hit one.
So what? Hit him eight.
I'm not anti
him. Hit him eight.
One other thing to keep an eye on, relatively important, expected rain on Friday all day. That could be key in this series. Could be a big benefit for
They wouldn't cancel a World Series game, though, right?
It's supposed to start raining. I'm looking at it right now. About 3 o'clock.
Why does everyone not have an indoor stadium at this point?
It's supposed to stop
This is one
raining.
Of my pet peeves.
Let me finish this point because it's important. 50% chance of rain at 3 o'clock in Atlanta on Friday. It's not supposed to stop raining till 1 a.m. That could be huge. That's what nobody's talking about. But you're right. You know,
nobody's talking about that.
You should have a dome. If you want to have a baseball team, you should have a dome. That's a joke.
Yeah.
You tell me you're going to delay the game even more? We're already having like 4-hour and 20-minute games.
Yeah.
Come on. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Okay. So that's the suspense there. There's some suspense on Kirby, too. And it has nothing to do with the trades and what we're hearing about Deshaun Watson, etc. Although we will get to that in a sec. Who's starting at quarterback is becoming a little bit
it's
too
so
silly
funny.
For me. Like, they won't say who the starting quarterback is. It's like they want Tyrod Taylor to go replacements Keanu Reeves style and come running off the damn boats. Like, is he going to take off from the Astrodome and come through the tunnel and it's going to be, like, some sort of heroic thing? Like, is that what we're going to do? Are we going to wait till, like, introductions? It's going to be like, Tyrod Taylor.
Is this like Bill Walsh? Hey, are you going to start Joe Montana or Steve Young? You know, well, we're going to keep it until Friday or Saturday to let you know. Dude, Tim Kelly said it today, and David Culley said it today. You'll hear it. Like, I don't know. We're not sure yet who we're going to start.
We don't know.
You're 1-6.
The coach, but the other thing is, like, the coach said that Tyrod Taylor's the starter. So he's out there practicing.
Well,
the coach has already said that he's going to be the guy.
No, he said if he's ready, he'll start.
Oh, so he's just out there practicing? He's not ready? Come on.
I mean, I don't know.
What do you think of them pushing Toro on the team Twitter?
I think that's what they should do. That's where we are. Tickets right now, we've seen games, $20, $18. Tickets right now
13.
On Ticketmaster are $15.
Yeah, I saw some 13s and 12s on StubHub. It's a good deal.
A heck of a deal.
Get the pizza deal too.
Yeah,
then you can get like 4 pies and 4 seats.
What? Order a bunch of pizzas
for like $100. Flash sale.
That's
going
a
on.
Real good deal, man.
A real good deal.
It's a really good deal.
What's that stadium gonna look like? By the way, the Astros play too. Friday, playing Saturday,
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a lot of hungover people. Have you been to a bar when the Astros are playing yet?
Not this year.
Dude.
No, not this year.
Dude.
Awesome. Well, I was at...
it's going to be a late night Saturday. And
Kirby Ice House
up.
For a bit, but then I left...
I went last night.
About the fourth inning.
I went last night.
And the boys are going to be there again tomorrow, right?
Clinton Show?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe they will be at Kirby Ice House.
Yeah, that's a fun place.
Yes, they will. Come by, say hi.
Yeah.
Clinton Show, be out there. I think T-Mill will hold it down in the studio, but yeah, they'll be out there, so go by and say what's up to them. You're trying to make sense of this Deshaun Watson thing yesterday, and it almost starts to sound like who's on first. I know Seth had a back and forth with McClain, and I actually felt better because as confused as we were, listen to Pat McAfee and A.J. Hawk try to make sense of the Miami Herald versus the Houston Chronicle. What is agreed to, what isn't agreed to, what's happening, what's not happening. This was Pat McAfee on Mad Dog Radio with his co-host A.J. Hawk.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, Barry Jackson, anyway, he of the Miami Herald is reporting that the Houston Chronicle reported that the Dolphins and Texans have agreed on a trade and via the Houston Chronicle are being traded. And Stephen Ross only okay with this if he had clarity on the law legal situation. But that isn't going to be settled by November 2nd. So what is Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald reporting? Well, he's reporting that the Houston Chronicle is reporting something. And then John McClain of the Houston Chronicle said, I never reported that. So who's cooking up bull? Here it seems like everybody at this
everyone involved has, I mean, there's just so much out there. I don't know what to believe. I have no idea.
That makes me laugh every time. Who's cooking up BS? To the walk away is fun.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle,
but that was the best part because it wasn't in a term of endearment, kind of like Michael Effin Brantley. It was, you know,
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle.
It's like he's tired of hearing from him.
I'm not a liar.
Do we know what or have we heard anything on what the compensation is for Mark Ingram?
No.
No idea.
No clue. It's going to be like a sixth or seventh. It's not going to be anything big.
Probably not, right?
No, it's not going to be
nothing,
big.
Nothing higher than
Mark Ingram traded yesterday, if you're just tuning in. Didn't know. Led to Lonnie Johnson and Tytus Howard saying a lot of things. Brandon Cooks said something. I actually care about that. But with the Astros going to Atlanta, here's a song for Lonnie Johnson and Tytus Howard. When they're going on the internet and spouting off, this is for you guys. One of the best groups to ever come out of Atlanta.
A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine. Also known as a buster.
Does Lonnie Johnson know how sorry people think he is?
He's starting to find out.
It's really weird because I think there's a natural instinct by fans to defend the athlete no matter what. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, the Honey Badger was the Honey Badger.
Right.
I know people in Kansas City talk about how quick he is on Twitter. He's at his
Right.
But Lonnie Johnson says this stuff, and when Brandon Cook says it, people are like, damn, that's one of our best players.
Yeah.
Lonnie Johnson, is
what are you doing,
he
man?
He quote tweeted someone that said, ball hawk or something. He's like, still work to be done. Well, no kidding. you're not even in the screen 75% of the time. The ball bounces to you. The guy oversells it. But, when the Texans tweet out something on their Twitter account, they get roasted.
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie Johnson gets jumped on like a trampoline when he tries to say stuff. And then him and Tytus Howard are going back and forth, and it's like, hey, bro, why are the fans coming at you, man?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We got some bad fans and we got some good fans. We just got to go do it on Sunday. And then Tytus Howard will be like, yeah, fam, it's all about us. Can you guys not text each other or something like that? I want to help these guys out. Unless they're just want the attention, can you guys act like professionals? Please, because y'all are two of the worst players on the team.
Yeah, you have to have even enough pelts on the wall as Brandon Cooks has for it to really resonate and for people to kind of, understand where you're coming from and get it and not complain. They don't have that, not in the least bit.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, World Series bread and John Elway, Eli Manning historical references. Could what's happening right now increase the Astros' chances of keeping Correa and decrease the Texans' chances of getting a franchise cornerstone next?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, World Series revenue. It's common knowledge that owners, they make a large chunk of bread during postseason runs and with World Series games. And I, assuming that the Astros bring the series back to Houston, they don't win all three in Atlanta, Jim Crane's going to have a pretty nice year as owner of the Astros, especially coming off COVID,
right,
et cetera. Does that increase the chances of Carlos Correa coming back? I don't know how significant it is. I just know that Verlander's coming off the books. Greinke's coming off the books. The pitchers that you have coming back, Javier, Valdez, Urquidy, Odorizzi, I think all those guys combined make about what Verlander would make, and it might even be less. Does the World Series revenue increase the chances of Carlos Correa coming back?
I think in a perfect world, everything that's happened increases the chances. What he's done in the postseason, the fact that they're making a World Series run, he's making more revenue the whole postseason, and then even more during the World Series. Obviously pressure from fans and everybody else. But I keep going back to the way the teammates have treated, Carlos Correa. It's, you know, Correa saying what he says could be posturing. You know, Correa talking about, you know, being insulted by the deal before the season. And afterward, you know, talking about, very recently talking about, you know, this could be my last, you know, run with these guys. And I'm paraphrasing. Listening to Jim Crane, that could be posturing. Well, we have a budget and blah, blah, blah. All that could be posturing. But when his teammates at the end of the regular season treated him like he was retiring or that he broke, you know, Cal Ripken's record or something, that's a tell, man. That means he's been talking in the locker room and his teammates know that this is his last run. So you would think in a perfect world, more money, more pressure, more winning would maybe lead Jim Crane to make that offer. But the teammates don't lie, man. They were basically saying goodbye. You remember it?
Yeah, I remember. You got two standing ovations.
Yeah.
One going out and one coming out.
And then they, the tip of the cap, and they pulled him off the field. Dusty knows.
There were hugs.
Yeah.
All of that.
That's the biggest tell of all.
Okay.
Probably so the most sincere one.
So we'll see. So your answer is probably not.
Probably not.
Okay, so probably not there. What about from a Texans perspective? 713-572-4610. Because I actually made a bet with Sean Pendergast. And I actually like these kind of bets.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I lose, nothing happens. If I win, I get...
Those are good bets.
A Fleming's dinner.
Those are good bets.
Works for me. I like bets like that. Anyone who wants to make a bet with me where there's no consequence for me losing, and if I win, I get a marquee dinner. Let's make that bet. Stick out that hand.
This must be
we'll
a
shake on it.
Must be a big bet, like a risky bet.
But I don't. I actually think that I might even like even if he weren't if the bet weren't that one sided when it came to compensation, I might bet this. We're looking at the Texans right now. We're looking at everybody leaving. We're looking at all the stuff that's being said about the Texans, the dark cloud, et cetera. You guys know it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go through the culture coming up at 1240 about as in-depth as you can possibly imagine. I hope that Cal is listening, and I hope that you are listening because I think you'll get a grasp of the frustration of where things are with this organization. But I just wonder, man, in an era in which players are more empowered than ever,
mm-hmm.
And maybe not as much in the NFL as in the NBA, because I think in the NBA it's a little bit out of control. But in this era, with how much people talk, with everything that's happened with the Texans, with everybody leaving, if the Texans have, like, let's say the number one pick in the draft,
okay,
would it really shock you if they got Eli or Elway'd? And if you don't know, Eli or Elway'd is where John Elway refused to play for the Baltimore Colts in the 80s. And then Eli Manning refused to play for the San Diego Chargers.
It happened
Chargers
in this city. Jim Everett.
In the 90s. How? I just don't see how this is not a strong possibility as long as Jack Easterby's there for someone at the top of the draft with an agent who's knows what he knows about the Texans and with players knowing what they know to come out and say, I don't want to send my client to the Houston Texans organization. I got to be honest with you. I think it's actually pretty likely that this happens. And I'm not pulling this out of my ass. I really do. Like, are you telling me, let's just go here. 713-572-4610. Am I being a dumbass or am I making sense here? There was a documentary on ESPN this year and it was like the Hey Rookie. It's always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all centered around David Mulugeta. David Mulugeta is the agent of Deshaun Watson. David Mulugeta is the agent of Charles Omenihu. And in this past draft, in which the Texans didn't have a first-round pick, Mulugeta, this is just a few guys that he represented. He represented Joe Horn's son, the top corner in the draft. He represented Kyle Pitts. He represented Justin Fields. And he represented Micah Parsons and some other guys that ended up going first in the draft.
Right.
Are you telling me that if David Mulugeta has a guy, and there's a chance, there's a better than likely
chance. He's got a lot of guys.
That he's going to have someone. Are you telling me that David Mulugeta is going to, in good faith, after Deshaun Watson has probably left town, after Charles Omenihu has had to go through what he's gone through, with all the stuff that has been said about guys like Whitney Mercilus, Randall Cobb, et cetera, are you telling me that it would just be some far-fetched thing for David Mulugeta to say, we're not going there. We're not playing there. We're going to pull an Eli or Elway. No, thank you.
I'm not saying it's likely, but neither is it that far-fetched based on look at players having more power right now. Mulugeta has all this power, has a very strained relationship with the Houston Texans, has a very clear understanding of what's going on in that building, and players might have more options as a result. As you mentioned Eli and Pay and Elway. That happened even before that in this city. Jim Everett was drafted number 3 overall by the Oilers, the Houston Oilers. I remember it well. I wasn't here at the time. I was still in San Antonio, but I was covering sports. And he said, "Nah, man." and that was in 1986.
Well, the other thing about it, and this is why I think it's even more likely, is it's not just a Mulugeta thing. Like, J.J. Watt has said what he said. Whitney Mercilus has said what he said. Randall Cobb has said what he said. Hell, Lonnie Johnson and freaking Titus Howard are saying stuff. I would imagine that Brian Gain, Chris Olsen, like all the guys that are looking at this from the outside, all the media types, et cetera, it's not just a Mulugeta thing. Like, it's becoming a league-wide thing where players, regardless of where they are, regardless of what their stature are, regardless of what their agent are, they don't have good things to say about this. So I don't think it's even just a Mulugeta thing.
And players
I think it's
talk.
Just it's an NFL thing. It's a common sense thing. There's a broken culture here.
The kind of the player fraternity has gotten so small too and close knit. All the summer camps and Elite 11 camps and 7-on-7s and college, you know, colleges, they just intermingle so much. They talk. Former players can be talking to, like, does Texas have anybody from Oregon? You know, like, or, but even if not, just some player that knew
Kayvon Thibodeau.
Thibodeau and say, you gotta work something out. You can't come here.
Let me ask you this. Like, let's pretend that, let's pretend Jacob or BG or whatever was a badass. Mm-hmm. Like they were really good at football. Okay. But they were good at football.
Okay.
And like, they were going to be the number one pick. Like, let's pretend like you're like Lamar Jackson's mom. Lamar Jackson's mom represents him. Like if they were the top pick in the draft and they were going to Houston, how would you feel? I mean, would you want your kid to go in that situation?
I would want answers. That's for sure. I'd want to talk to the owner.
Well, that's going to go well.
Well, I mean, again, I would want to find out. I would want to find out what is it about? Is what I'm hearing about you real? That's at minimum. The reason I said it's not far-fetched, but it's also not likely, is because players in that position, they just want to play, man. They just want to get drafted and walk across that stage, and they don't think it as much about that as much.
When you're that,
their agents do.
But when you're a top dog, you got options, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, an in-depth look at the culture. You'll hear from Cal McNair. You'll hear from Jack Easterby. And we'll give you a clear picture of why players like Brandon Cooks are so frustrated with what's going on Kirby. You don't want to miss this next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans culture under fire. Mark Ingram traded. Brandon Cooks says this is BS. Lonnie Johnson and Titus Howard weighing in. There's problems with the Texans culture. And let's just dive into it. How was this created? We thought there needed to be a change, but how was this culture created that we thought was going to be changed after King Bill was fired? And how did the guy who had a big hand in creating that chaotic culture, how did he become the overseer of the new culture? Let's go back to when the culture first showed signs that it was eventually going to need to be changed. Here was Jack Easterby at the prime, at the peak of the King Bill era, one of the worst in the history of the NFL when it comes to a general manager, Cal McNair trusting King Bill and Jack to run this thing into the wall. Here was Jack Easterby talking about the culture that he felt was being built back then.
Overall, I would say just from the cap and the structure where we are, I think we're very happy with the moves we've made to get to this point. We've been blessed to invest in some great people. And I think what that does is creates a domino effect when other people enter the locker room. It creates a unity and excitement and a culture that people want to be a part of. So I do think it's important to get those pieces in place now. We'll add one by one people that fit that culture and can celebrate together what we're doing.
Okay, celebrate. What are we celebrating? I don't understand.
I mean, it's...
But that is him talking about the culture in the past. And I know he's probably putting his hands up now and saying, come on, bro. We just heard you there. You were proud of what was going on. You had a significant hand. We'll hear from King Bill in a sec. You had a significant hand. And that was what led to you needing a new GM and coach.
When other
players, him having a big hand in that.
When other players come into the locker room, they can celebrate the unity.
That's what he said.
What are players entering the locker room doing today?
They're wanting to get out and they're complaining when they're in.
Yes. And they feel deceived.
Yes.
No, none more than Brandon Cooks and Mark Ingram. Those were like the closest of close-knit allies that Jack Easterby had. One has been alienated and is out, even if he's physically still there. And the other one is literally out in Mark Ingram.
Now, here is Bill O'Brien. And this is before the culture. They said that there was going to be a culture change. This was Bill O'Brien. Texans are trying to get out of some bad contracts. Zach Cunningham is one of those contracts. Who negotiated these contracts, you might be asking? Well, it was Jack Easterby, who has even more of a role in culture. I don't know what he does personnel-wise. Hopefully nothing. Because we've seen how bad that is, but he is the overseer of culture. He is the guy that's hiring a guy that's the, quote, character coach that's basically his clone who he met at South Carolina, Dylan Thompson, who I like, but I feel bad for him being in the position he's in. But here is Bill O'Brien talking about the role that Jack Easterby had in creating the mess that the Texans are currently trying to get out of.
Yeah.
To be very, very honest with you, Jack Easterby did a lot of this negotiation. Jack and I work together. We're all in charge of different things. So relative to how a general manager's position has been defined in the past may not be exactly the way we do it. He oversees a lot of different things, contracts with Kevin. And, we work together. It's a team. And hopefully we can win and prove that that's the way to do it.
Okay, so this is the guy that you just heard him himself.
Basically, he's doing all the GM heavy lifting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's part of the reason that this got screwed up. So let's just let him oversee everything. Let's let him be the voice. That really makes a lot of sense, Cal. Like, honestly, like that really makes a ton of sense. Like, you put too much trust in Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien gets a right-hand man. Brian Gang gets run out of town. And in order to change stuff, you just decide, oh, I'm getting rid of Bill O'Brien, but I'm keeping the other guy who's probably even just less competent than Bill O'Brien.
Oh, he is.
Let's keep him around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Here is Deshaun Watson in the middle of this culture that was created by Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. This was Deshaun Watson, and this was pre-massage scandals. This was Deshaun talking about that C word.
We just need a whole culture shift. We just need new energy. We need discipline. We need structure, a leader. So we can follow that leader. We all got to be on the same page. There's too many different minds and too many different ideas and too many people thinking that they have this power, and it's not like that. You know, we need someone that stand tall, and this is who we follow, and this is the way it goes, and we're going to do it this way to win.
All right, new energy, discipline, structure. This is the most undisciplined team on and off the field that I can recall. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, off-field, like, legal stuff. These guys act like absolute children. the Lonnie Johnsons and the Titus Howards when it comes to all the whining and stuff that goes on. Even Brandon Cooks is doing it now, which I don't really blame Brandon, but they're doing that. So that's not discipline. On the field, they get penalty after penalty. It's not new energy. It's intensified energy of what was before. So what Deshaun's wish was did not happen. It's basically, Jack Easterby, you had a hand in screwing this up. Let's go ahead and let you put It All Matters and stuff on the damn scoreboard, and we'll just let it play. So it's not a new energy. It's not discipline, and there's damn sure no structure.
The other part of this that's and some people have clearly turned on Deshaun Watson. I get it. You know, you're angered that he wants out.
That's fine.
You're bothered by his off-field allegations.
That's cool.
I get it. But we have to all acknowledge this now, today, more than ever, in the wake of the Mark Ingram trade and the Brandon Cook stuff, on top of everything else that we've seen over the last couple of years. Deshaun Watson was right. I mean, what he said there as the field general, the leader in the locker room, the guy, the franchise quarterback, the superstar in this city, well before anything else happened, guys, he was right. There were too many people.
No, he was 100%
right.
He was
100%
right. JJ was right, too.
Yeah.
JJ said the same thing.
Yeah.
They both think the same thing.
It was that bad.
So how it was created on it needing to be changed, it didn't change. But there were some guys drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Ingram, recently traded. He was drinking the Kool-Aid. Brandon Cooks, my God, you sacrificed your dignity. I felt bad for – I almost felt like he was Ralphie in the bunny outfit as well, going up there saying that they were building something special. You look like a dope saying something like that, Cooks. He seems to have seen the light. But this was Mark Ingram back and forth with David Culley at the beginning of the year when some people were drinking that Jim Jones Kool-Aid.
I can't do it without you. We got to finish him.
Your presence on this football team and what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Very important. It ain't just about yards.
Yes,
it's
sir.
About having you here.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yeah, I love you, Coach.
All right, well, that shows how much they care about that. So you have that. Mark Ingram gone. This was Brandon Cooks after the Carolina loss. Texans 1-2. Brandon Cooks, man, I feel bad that he had to do this. But this was Cooks talking about what they're building here.
You know, I feel great. You know, we got a long time, you know, get, you know, a break, get recovered, get the bodies right. You know, there's no giving up. There's no negative energy in that locker room. We know what we got. We got something special. Very, very happy what's going forward. And we're going to continue to work in that aspect.
Can I get an update on that? Because we're talking about a change culture. Mark Ingram gone. And Brandon Cook says this is BS, such a joke. He's obviously unhappy. Can't really blame him. So there's an update on that. So we've talked about how it was created, on it changing, what it was at the start when the Kool-Aid was being passed out on trays, like shots at Kirby Icehouse, except a lot of people were turning them down.
Yeah.
A lot of people turning them down.
Yeah.
Whitney was like, I'm good on that. Speaking of which, one of their other guys, their culture guys, he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Really no beef.
And by the way, I've been talking about the guys that were brought in mm-hmm. to be like the epitome of what they wanted and allies of theirs. Whitney was the one that was here that was the epitome of what they wanted and kind of spoke their same language.
Well, let's hear what he had to say about them when he left, when he goes somewhere else. This is a breakdown, in-depth breakdown. This is what it is. So we've talked about how it was created with Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien. With Jack Easterby having a significant role and a lot of his mess having to be cleaned up. We've heard Deshaun Watson, we heard J.J. Watt say how it needed to change. It didn't really change. As a matter of fact, Jack Easterby had an even bigger hand in creating the culture. He was able to bring in a character coach, and he's able to put T.J. Maxx signs around the locker room and whatnot and say whatever the hell he's got to say. We've heard two guys drink the Kool-Aid. But let's get what it is, courtesy of Whitney Merciless. Mm-hmm. This is a guy with no beef.
Right.
He's getting paid no matter what. He's moving on. He's forever a Texan. You heard Cal McNair say that. This is not malicious. This is not petty. This is not you did me wrong.
He's calling it what it is.
This is just 100% honesty on what the Texans culture is and why players, fans, media types are so effing frustrated.
Felt great out there today. Feels like revitalized. The youngness in me is back, you know, because yeah, new environment. You feel the vibe of the team. It's not heavy. It's not a heavy cloud or anything like that.
Does that come from going from like from a team that maybe isn't going that same direction to now you are on a contender?
Yeah, definitely. That definitely contributes to it. But also the mentality as far as like from top down, from I'm talking about tippity top all the way down. Everybody's on the same page. You know, they invest into their players, into people. When you've got a mentality like that, you want to invest back into that. So to experience something like that is awesome.
Okay, man, there you go.
That's the guy that you said, well, we got to keep him because he kind of fits with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All that stuff that you heard from Easterby earlier.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's crazy. But let's hear from the guy that's allowed Bill O'Brien to do what he did, that is allowing Jack Easterby to oversee a culture at the highest level. Let's hear from Cal McNair. What exactly is a culture? This was Cal after Deshaun had said what he said, after JJ was en route to being sent on his way, after all of the Sports Illustrated articles, after all of the uncertainty and the hope, quite honestly, that the Texans were going to change after week four of last year. This was Cal McNair talking about, and I want you to like make sure that you're pulled over on the side of the road, or that, you know, you've at least gulped down your food and water or whatever the hell you're sipping on right now, because this will make you throw up when you hear Cal McNair say this. This is Cal McNair defining the culture. This one, I'm not going to lie, this one kicks me right in the nads. Yeah.
As we look forward, it's important for me to remind everyone who the Houston Texans are as an organization. Our culture has been repeatedly under question, so let me clear that up for all of you right now. We are an organization committed to excellence, both on and off the field. We operate with integrity, character, a winning mentality, and a strong sense of community. We believe you can't go wrong by doing what's right, and ask our fans to trust that we know what's right. In everything we do, we are an organization committed to bringing a championship to the city of Houston.
Trust that we know what's right. Based on what? Serious question. Based on what should fans or us or we should trust that they know what's right? Because everything they've done since Jack Easterby got here and Cal's given all this power to Bill O'Brien and him has been wrong. Like, there hasn't been a good thing happen to this organization yet.
Do you think that Brandon Cooks gets traded?
I do now. I thought he would be the one, because, and we talked about it with John McClain earlier this week. I was like, you know, because everybody's on the block. You know, everybody on this team is definitely tradable. But I thought, you know, he's so tight with Easterby, they won't even do that. He seems to just be, you know, enjoy being a big fish in a small pond, you know, and that's what he is. He, you know, he's kind of the star, if there is such a thing, on this offense. Certainly the most productive. But now you've done it, you know, I don't think people understand how close he and Mark Ingram are, like before they became Houston Texans, really close to each other, with each other. And it hurt him. It hurt him on a personal level, and he feels deceived. Just like the pains that hurt us all the most are the ones that the people closest to us do. Like, it's one thing for a friend of yours to kind of stab you in the back, you know, on something. When it's somebody in your family that you trust and you feel like you trust, that hurts a lot. I think that's where Brandon Cooks is right now.
Yeah, and I also think he was sacrificing his dignity. I think it's goofy for Brandon Cooks to go up there after the Carolina game and say we're building something special.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that Jack Easterby was very proud of him, because I've seen Jack Easterby go in like David Culley press conferences and then walk out whenever mm-hmm. Culley walks out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's, you know, he kind of meddles in that type of thing. And I'm sure he was really, really happy.
He's actually kind of in charge of PR.
With Cooks for going out there.
Good job.
That's unfortunate, because Omar does a damn good job.
Good job, yeah.
That's unfortunate, because Omar and them do a really effing good job.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows a damn thing about PR. But I don't really, like, think Brandon Cooks could look at himself in the mirror with a straight face and say what he said, that they're building something special.
Not anymore. No, not anymore.
Bro, he played with the Saints. He played with the Patriots. He played with the Rams.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how he really thought there was something special there. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. So, trade deadline 5 days away. We'll find out where we go from here. Wood, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, Andrew, I need to bring you up to speed on some things, because you're a big Nick Ferio fan. Now, we all know Jack Easterby has a strong influence on what's going on with the
and McNair family. But you also need to recognize right now, Nick Caserio is also a big part of that operation.
No, no, and let me cut you off. Wood, I'm not cutting you off to like disagree with you. I'm cutting you off to agree with you. Like at this point, you know, regardless of whether he's in personnel or not, you are right. Like even me saying that Nick Caserio is going to make the decisions, I think his hands are tied because of Jack Easterby's presence. So I'm 100% with you. Like Jack Easterby is Nick Caserio's problem now as well, and it is a package deal at this point.
I don't think that his hands are tied. I think they're walking hand in hand together.
Well, that sucks.
I think they're both cut from the same cloth. I mean, you're talking about Jim Jones and David Carreras both working together while they're holding hands with the Minera family praying, and the Minera family have no idea what's going on while this team is getting torn apart. And David Culley, he's just a innocent puppet, because look at all these players just disappearing off the face of this team. I mean, they bring in people, and this is all Nick Caserio doing here. He's bringing in all these people, and next thing you know, he's getting rid of people.
The other thing, though, I would say this, and I'm with you, but I want to push back on this. Like, don't you think that maybe, like Brandon Cooks has kind of seen the light, mm-hmm. because Nick knew Jack in New England, and he didn't really feel the impact and feel how bad it was? Don't you think it's possible that, like, it appears that Brandon Cooks has seen the light, that maybe eventually Nick sees the light? And I don't know how much he can do about it, but don't you think that's at least possible? Because I really don't think that Nick Easterby is enjoying Nick Caserio. Might as well call him Nick Easterby with the way Wood's talking. I don't feel like he's enjoying and aware of this and laughing at what's going on right now. I think he truly does want to build the best team possible.
Well, the thing is, naturally, the players have no say-so. So they have to, you know, beat the drums that management put out there and put the smiling face on. But once the losing starts, that's when players start to realize this is not working. And once they start to see players getting traded, cut, just with no reason. I mean, to cut Miller and then you want to say, we needed that open spot, and then things that are going on are just senseless now. And so now the players are really starting to speak out, and this is really a Nick Caserio project that he put together because he believed in the same thing that Jack Easterby believed in, and they're walking hand to hand, and the players are suffering now behind it.
Wood, I've been talking to Landry about this for a couple of months now, more than a couple of months. And I know, Landry, you were pushing back on this. I think you're kind of coming to this side. Make no mistake, Jack Easterby has a very direct influence on Nick Caserio's decisions.
It's
make no mistake.
And look, I even based on that, I almost feel like Caserio is still the right guy for the job. And let me explain.
Because nobody else would.
I don't think anyone can get rid of Easterby.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Caserio can fire Easterby.
No.
And I'm seeing the light. And I just think that he's going to see the light like Brandon Cooks, and he's going to have to figure something out. Because with Jack Easterby here, you can't build this culture that you're talking about. It sounds silly. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, man, they're going to get Elway. They're going to get Eli'd. This is not going to end well. See what Brandon Cooks is saying. See what everybody's saying. It's there.
And to Wood's first point, Nick Caserio's had a bad month, man. It was certainly a bad day yesterday. You can't be telling people what you're telling people. And he comes on here, and he does a really good job of saying things, not necessarily always specific, and maybe this is why, because you know what he's talking around is also culture, but also like being competitive and getting the right guys in here and building something. You're building something with a cornerstone piece that you just shipped out. Mark Ingram was one of the only bright spots in this organization, on the field, off the field, attitude. Easterby approved. I mean, everything. And you just shipped them off. So you can't tell us those things with a straight face. Oh, but we got great return. No, wait, you swapped picks.
We shouldn't be talking about culture. Yeah. Like, you should be telling me we don't have any draft picks. We don't have any cap space. We don't have the talent. You shouldn't be telling me culture, because that's if culture is what you're hanging your hat on, you're effed.
Yeah.
You're effed.
And the whole idea, Seth Payne said it very, very well a while back, and you'll hear from him again, but like, okay, you have a culture. That's not going to get it done.
Yeah, what,
it helps when you have good players and good organization and good structure to have a good culture. But that's like, hey, we can win now. We got culture guys. No, the culture club is dying.
The confusion over what's being said in the Houston Chronicle and Miami Herald in regards to Deshaun Watson has been taken to the national stage. Plus, J.J. Watt, different team, same old, same old. Round the league next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.